Gittin Perik Ches, Mishnah Gimel 8:3. Our Mishnah starts with that fateful word v'chein, and the same principle applies. So v'chein le'inin kedushin, the same principle applies to kedushin. So let's just review what the principle was. In the last Mishnah we said that if a woman is standing in Rishus HaRabim, or in a other domain that isn't her own, so if the husband throws the get to her, and it's more accessible to her than to him, and there's no one else around to snatch the get away so she can get it with ease, it's just a matter of picking it up, so then even though the get's not within her dalet amos, which is normally the requirement to acquire something in a public domain, still we say the get has been received by her and she's divorced. Now, the leniency that a woman can receive this get even though it's not within her dalet amos is a din derabanan, because we didn't want women to become agunos, to be trapped in a marriage where the husband essentially threw the get at her and zoomed off into the sunset. Now, and since she didn't receive the get and it blew away after it's in the wind or something, she's stuck and can never get a get again. And therefore, we had this leniency. In contrast to that, if it's closer to him than to her, meaning he can still have easier access than she can, then it hasn't been given. And if it's equally accessible to both of them when he throws it in the Rosh Hashanah, meaning either it's kind of between the two of them, not literally between, meaning it could be closer to one than the other, but they both have equal ease to access it, or equal difficulty in accessing it, like he threw it to her and it got stuck in a tree or something. So then we said it's a suffix of magreshes and magreshes. She's divorced but not divorced, as we said before. So here back in our Mishnah, we say lachen in kedushin, the same applies to kedushin, meaning the leniency that if he throws the get to her and, excuse me, the item that he's using for kedushin, meaning he's effecting a marriage by, let's say, throwing a little ring to her. He says, do you want to marry me? She says, yes. He says, great, I'm going to throw you the ring. And he throws the ring. If the ring lands closer to her than to him in a public domain and no one else is there to snatch away from her, she says to pick it up. So even though it's not in her dalet amos, we say that it has been received by her and she is mekudeshes, again, assuming there are two witnesses observing it, like there was in the case of the Gittin case in the previous Mishnah. So the question is why? I mean, why should we be lenient and count this as a kedushin? When it came to the get, we said, listen, the rabbis are lenient and said, we don't want a woman to be stuck as an aguna, and therefore we're lenient and say, even though it didn't quite make it to her dalet amos, we'll count it rabbinically as if she did get it. But why would we want to make a leniency with respect to kedushin when what's the big deal? Either they're not married or he'll end up to marry her again by giving the cast of kedushin or the ring, whatever it is, in a more respectable way. The answer is that there's a general overarching principle on a Doraisa level that there's a hekesh, there's a connection between divorce and marriage being kedushin in the first case, because kedushin, which creates the bond of marriage, and gittin, which severs the bond of marriage, are really like kind of, you know, reciprocal acts. And the pasuk, which says, v'yatza mibeso, she leaves his house, that's the consequence of being divorced. And then it goes on to say, v'haysa l'isha acher, and she becomes with another man, meaning she's like married to that man. So the hekesh that the pasuk conflates, combines those two issues, juxtaposing the yitziyah of the gerushin and the havaya, the establishment of the new marriage of kedushin. So therefore, the rabbis understand that you can learn halachas one from the other. And since that principle applies throughout the halachas of gittin and kedushin, so even though the rabbis made a din derabanan that she should acquire her get, if he throws it to her and she has more access than he does and no one else is around, even though there's no reason to make such a, in of itself, no reason to make such a leniency with regard to kedushin, the rabbis wanted to keep the symmetry and therefore apply this principle of what they call v'yatza v'haisa, the hekesh connecting the havaya and the yitzia, divorce and the marriage together. And therefore, the rabbis decided to make this leniency apply as well when it comes to kedushin. As far as if it's mechtza al mechtza, meaning it's equally accessible to both of them or to neither of them, you know, the ring gets stuck in a tree. So then she's mekudeshes v'ena mekudeshes, she's in a suffix situation, and that would mean that if she wants to marry someone else, she'll have to first get a get from the first husband out of suffix. If she wants to marry him and move in with him, they'll have to do kedushin all over again. Okay, the next part of the Mishnah says, v'chein le'inyan achov. The same goes when you're paying back a debt, meaning, on the face of it, that if, you know, the borrower owes the lender $100, the borrower can just, you know, throw the $100 at him, and if it's closer to him, the lender, than the borrower, so that would settle the debt. Now, that's very peculiar. Why in the world should that be the case? That's not a way to pay back a debt. And more than that, the only reason that we said in a public place that you can acquire something that's given to you, not in your dalat amos, and here in the case of paying back a debt, should be in his hand proper, is this leniency for gerushin. We want women to not be stuck as agunos. So why would this apply in the case of paying back a debt? And the answer is, well, really it wouldn't. It's just that our case is an unusual case where the lender says to the borrower, listen, throw me the money and the rules of gittin will apply. I want the rules of gittin to apply to this throwing of the money. So since he stipulated that he is allowing the rules of gittin to apply, so all of a sudden now, because of that, if the money ends up closer to him and accessible to him uniquely without anyone to compete with him in the rishus harabim even, so it means he got paid back. Only because of that stipulation. As the Mishnah says here, amar lo baal chovo, the case is that the baal chovo, the man who is entitled to be repaid, says to him, the borrower, zrok li chovi, throw me the money you owe me. And the Gemara says, it means that he says, zrok li chovi, throw me the money you owe me, betoras gittin, and the rules of gittin will apply. This karavlo, karavlov situation. And therefore, uzarko lo, if the borrower throws the money, karavlo malve, if it's closer to the lender, then zacha halove. So then, that counts as a credit towards the borrower, meaning he's paid back his debt. Now the truth is that's a strange way of expressing it. It should have said zacha hamalva, that the lender now is considered to have received the money. And that in fact is the girsa in the, as we have it in the Gemara. It says zacha hamalva, but the point is the same. There's no argument really. There's a girsa change, but there's a, both the Mishnah we have here and in the Gemara agree. The point is it's credited towards the paying back of the debt. If it's karav lalova, however, says the Mishnah, if the money that the borrower throws ends up still being closer, more accessible to the borrower than the lender, so then halova chayev, so then the borrower still is on the hook. So meaning the case is something like this for all these cases. You know, the borrower throws the $100 to the lender and then lightning comes down and incinerates the $100 bill. So now does he have to pay a second dime? So if it landed closer to the malva and the malva said, I want the rules of gittin to apply. So since it was close enough for them to pick it up, if then subsequently lightning strikes it, so then too bad for the lender. If the borrower throws the money, it's still closer to him or more accessible to him, and then lightning strikes it, so too bad for the borrower. He'll have to pay a second time because he didn't give over the money. Mechta al mechta, if it's equally accessible to both borrower and lender, meaning it's sort of, they both could just, they're standing in a park and the borrower throws it to the lender, and it's kind of between the two of them. Each can just take a couple steps and pick it up. So then, well, it's mechza mechza, it's half-half. Or equally, if he threw the $100 bill and it got stuck in a tree, so neither can access it without the help of the other one. Same thing, mechza mechza. And therefore, says the Mishnah, shnehem yachaloku, they have to divide it, meaning what that would mean is that the bar would have to pay another $50, you know, splitting the difference. Now, that's very strange. Also, on the face of it, because if it's 50-50, the usual rule is, if we treat the 50-50 as mechza mechza, as a suffix, as a situation of doubt, so the normal rule is when it comes to a suffix of a doubtful situation where someone is claiming money from someone else, the primary rule is hamotzi mechavero alav haraya, the person is trying to extract money, it's the burden of proof is on him to show that he still owed the money. So if we're not sure if this counts as being paid back or not, so then why don't we say, listen, the lender will have to bring a proof it was not actually closer to him, so that in order to force the borrower to pay a second time, otherwise he should be off the hook. So the answer is no, that's not what's happening at all. It's not a suffix that we don't know who was closer to. That's not the point. The point is it was equally close to both of them, accessible to both of them, and therefore they both have a claim. And when the rule is when you have two people having a competing claim with each other, so then the principle is that it's yachalok, we split the difference. So that means, you know, the two guys come in, each one holding the talus on its fringes, and they say, oh, I found it, no, I found it. The bezdin, what does the bezdin know? Who knows? They don't know who claimed it first, but they both are claiming it now, so therefore the bezdin says, okay, let's just split the value 50-50. So that's what's happening over here. Okay, the Mishnah continues, but, you know, it's like a whole new topic, if you will, here. We're talking now about the husband giving the wife a get by throwing it from a roof to a courtyard or vice versa. So the picture is, it'd be useful if you have a picture. But the point is, there's like two houses next to each other, you know, on the property line. House number one has like a rooftop, and then right off the roof, if you throw something off the roof, it will land in the courtyard or the backyard of house number two. Okay? And since they're married right now, the point is that the wife has nechse malug. She brought into the marriage a property. We'll discuss both her house, the one with the roof, or the house of the backyard, the courtyard. But the point is, since it's her property, in the event of a divorce, her property could acquire her get, as we said in the beginning of the perek. So the question is, if he is throwing her the get, either from the roof down to her courtyard or from the courtyard up to her roof, at what point is it considered that her courtyard received it on her behalf, that she's divorced, if you know the next moment the lightning strikes and incinerates the get? Again, you have a situation, in this case, of the throwing, where there's two witnesses observing it. They know the get is the get. It's just a question of when does she receive the get in her yada, the legal equivalent of her hand, meaning her property, which makes a kinyan chatzer on her behalf, acquiring it for her. So, the Mishnah says, Haisa medes al rosh hagag. If she's the one standing atop her roof, Vizarka la, and he stands down directly below from the roof in his courtyard, and he throws it up to her. Kaven shiagila avir hagag, hareza mugureshes. As soon as the get reaches into the airspace of her roof, so then she is mugureshes, she's divorced. So what does that mean, airspace? So if there's no parapet, maka, going around the roof of the gag, so even though there's no, you know, take one step off the roof and you're crashing down below, there's nothing to protect you from falling off, it's still considered to be a chater mishtameris, a place that's protected because no one's accessing a roof besides her. It's, 10 tefachim off the ground or more. But therefore, it has to get into the airspace of the roof, which means we invoke the principle of lavud. Lavud is a halacha l'moshe misinai, a principle that applies all over kol Torah kula, that if something's within 3 tefachim, we'll call that 11 inches, it's as if it's already there. So that means that in this context over here, once the get's within those 3 tefachim of the ground of her roof top, the surface of her roof, so then it's as if it's already on the ground of the roof, and therefore the roof can acquire on her behalf, even though it's not quite touching the ground, and therefore she's divorced at that point. Which would mean if he throws the get up to her onto roof time, and it gets 11 inches, 10 inches, 9 inches, all of a sudden lightning strikes, and before it even hits the surface of the roof, the get is incinerated. Well, she's already divorced because of lovewood. It's like it lands on the roof, and therefore it's as if her roof already acquired it for her. If there is a kind of like a parapet going around the roof, like a maka to protect people from falling off, let's say that's 10 tefachim high, as it's supposed to be. So then, assuming that, once it's the get falls below the 10 tefachim mark, and sort of now if the wind would blow, it would be protected because of the maka, the parapet going around the roof. So as soon as the get gets below the line of the top of the maka, the parapet, we're talking like within 10 tefachim, or however high it is, so then at that point, it's considered within the airspace of the roof, and she is already divorced. Okay, now the other way around. What happens if the husband, milamala, he's standing on the roof, it's his roof. The woman to get divorced, is standing in her backyard, milamata, down below. And it's hers, meaning it's her nechsemalog, it'll be hers once she's divorced. Vizarkola, the husband, throws it down to her off the roof. So then kevin shigatza merushus hagag, once it's left like the property line, leaving the roof and entering into the domain of the chatzer, so let's assume the chatzer has seen mishtamera, so it's got like a fence around it, and that picket fence, let's say, is, whatever, it's, 4 feet tall, so that as soon as it gets within 4 feet of the ground, already it's in the domain of the chatzer, the backyard, and therefore she's received her get, because her backyard received it for her, and she'd be divorced, which would mean, says the Mishnah, Kevan Shiyatim Rosh Hashagag, once it's left his rooftop and entered into her domain, Nimchak, if all of a sudden torrential rains, fall, and it gets washed away and rubbed out, even though it didn't touch the ground yet, or Nisraf, lightning comes and incinerates it, or a fire comes, the neighbor with his flamethrower comes and burns it up midair, so then Hareza Mugureshes, it doesn't matter, she's already divorced, because her Chatzer acquired it for her. The Gemara speaks out, by the way, that it can't be just like throwing it into her fire pit down below. That's not going to work, because then it's as if it's already burnt before you even threw it off the roof. The case is that there was no fire at the time, but then lightning struck, or the crazy neighbor used his flamethrower, or something else rather strange happened, and the wind caught it and blew it into the flame somewhere else. Whatever the story is, if he was throwing it to her unencumbered backyard, and then something happens, as long as it got within the height that it's within the walls of the backyard, it's been received by her, and it doesn't matter what happens next to the get.